The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Aaron Rodgers rolling in the snow with a dominating performance. Are the Packers now the team to beat in the NFC? Plus, Pittsburgh's improbable comeback. Their offense finally coming to light. How much should we trust in Big Ben and the Steelers heading into the playoffs? And who saw this coming? Will the Cowboys win the NFC East? And what will happen if they do? Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Get Up on a Monday morning. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We've got our football crew here with us. Rex Ryan here with me in the Seaport. We've got Dan and RC over there as well. So let's go. Let's get right on it and get you to the statement of the night. Sunday Night Football, Titans, Packers. What a game this was, guys. And I got to tell you, we'll start off with this. You know, when we look at this game every week, Ben Jones comes out there to in barefoot to pay honor to his brother. He came out there just like that. And I'll tell you, Aaron Rodgers had some fun in this one. Finding an open Equanimeous St. Brown for the touchdown right off the bat. Packers cruising early as they go up 12-0. Then, ensuing Titans possession, Ryan Tannehill intercepted right there. Darnell Savage, who returns it to the Titans' 34-yard line. Packers slide in the sew in celebration. Tannehill, obviously frustrated. Ensuing Packers possession, watch this. Aaron Rodgers, beautiful fade route. Danny's been doing it all season with Devontae Adams.
Yeah, those guys were in lockstep. It's a beautiful ball to that back pylon from Rodgers.
40 seconds left in the half, same score. Tannehill, right there. Jonnu Smith in the end zone. Touchdown, Titans cut their deficit 19-7 before the half. Let's take it to the third quarter. Titans get the ball in the third and one, and Tannehill does it with his legs, Dan.
This is a beautiful play design, and then you see Tannehill still has that speed. The Packers defense overcommits on the run, and Tannehill pulls it. Easy touchdown. We got a game in the third quarter.
Ensuing Packers drive, this one's interesting. Watch this. Aaron Jones bounced the handoff outside, tiptoes to the sideline, and he takes it all the way. 59-yard gain, but not quite, Dan, when we take a closer look.
Ryan, someone in the press box has got to yell down to Mike Vrabel that Aaron Jones stepped out of bounds after multiple replays, and he's got to get this challenge flag out. This is an obvious. First of all, I have no idea how the official, who's staring right at it from the bottom of the screen, misses it, but they got to get that flag thrown an extra 40 yards.
Big missed opportunity right there, and you see Aaron Rodgers hooking up again with Devontae Adams right there making it happen. What a game for Adams. Let's take it over, 26-14, and watch this. A.J. Dillon takes the handoff, bursts through the hole en route to a 30-yard touchdown. The first of his career, tries to do the Lambeau leap, doesn't quite make it. But that's okay, because I'll tell you what, Packers had a great game. Rodgers, 231 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams have connected for 17 touchdowns this season. That's the most between a quarterback and a wide receiver over the last 10 seasons. Adams is also one receiving touchdown away from tying Sterling Sharp for the Packers' single season record set in 1994. This is a brilliant combination, and I got to bring my guys in to talk about this. And Dan, I got to start with you. You look at how the Packers just dominated this game. What's your biggest takeaway from the Packers blowing out the Titans in Green Bay?
Right, this was the big test, right? Like, this was the big test for the Green Bay Packers, a team that could run the football and dominate their defense and hit some play-action shots. This is the team that could go to Green Bay and win. Nope. Absolutely smashed this test, Green Bay. Completely aced it. If you looked at the way their offense played early on, it was like, we're going to Tennessee Titan the Tennessee Titans. They threw the ball early in Rodgers to Devontae Adams. They were dominant, and then they got the run game to really impact this football game. I love the way that Matt LaFleur designs their run game. This is the salting away of a defense. They get their run game. Their big back, A.J. Dillon, or their speed back, Aaron Jones, on unblocked defenders. And you're talking about a football team right now that defense is starting to play a little bit better. Rodgers has been absolutely dominant, and we need to start using the word or the phrase the best with the Packers, right? Ooh. Like, their quarterback's playing the best, their wide receivers playing the best, their offensive line's playing the best, and people need to start putting Matt LaFleur into the conversation as one of the best coaches in football.
the best, Rex. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think they're clearly the best team in the NFC, and I disagree with Dan a little bit. The Packer defense is not playing a little bit better. They're playing a hell of a lot better. Okay. And Mike Pettine and my boy Mike Smith, they got that defense going, and they're well coordinated. They're all coming together, and they're peaking at the right time. Nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, is going into Lambeau Field in the playoffs and beating them. I don't think that. And quite honestly, when Green Bay takes this team down to Tampa for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. if the Kansas City Chiefs are there, Ryan, I think Green Bay is going to beat them. I like the way this team is. They're going like this. I don't see the same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And look, and I get it. Ryan Clark, you're going to go ask. You're going to ask okay. RC, and RC's okay. going to be like, here's the playbook. I get it.
He's already right.
No, he's right. But I there's something about this team. And look, I don't want them to. Ryan, I've said all you know, the whole season, I don't want the Packers to because they butchered the draft. But, man, my eyes are telling me that this is the best team
this
in the NFL.
This team is better than the Chiefs.
I think so. Right now, I believe they are.
RC, weigh in, man.
Oh, man, y'all cut that out. You know what happens, guys? This is what happens. We get so tired. We get so tired of the Chiefs, and it's like, man, yes. they just did three pirouettes in the backfield, and then they tossed the ball out. Patrick Mahomes ran out the back end, and Keanu Neal broke it up or got an interception by the goal line. This team is doing too much. Oh, we hate them. They barely won the game. Well, hell, they barely won 14 out of the 15 that they played. yeah. And we got to remember that. Like, okay, guys, let's calm down. And let's also think about, you know, you beat the Bears and you beat the Lions. You beat the Bears in Mitchell Trubisky's first game back. You beat the Lions. But remember, when they played the Colts, the last time they played a team that could run the football, that had a quarterback that could make some plays, they also lost that game. They didn't produce points in the second half. And yesterday was a big test. Yesterday was kind of the test you wanted to see if you can believe in them, if you can put them atop the NFC with the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Seattle Seahawks. And I think you say that now. I think you say if teams have to go through Green Bay, have to go through Lambeau to get to the Super Bowl, that the Green Bay Packers would be your favorite. But we're going to hold out a little bit on this, the best of everything, the best quarterback. Yeah, he's one of the best. He's 1A and 1B with the dude in Kansas City. And yeah, Matt LaFleur is a good coach. Matt LaFleur hasn't won a meaningful football game. The dude in Kansas City has. And so where I do think this was a big step up for the Green Bay Packers, this solidified them to me as the one in the NFC. There's still some teams on the other side in Kansas City and the Buffalo Bills that I think you definitely look at and say that they could beat this football team.
For sure. So, Dan, jump in. Is there an argument to be made here that this could be the best team in football in these Green Bay Packers?
No, the Chiefs are still the best team. I want to make that very clear. The Chiefs are the best team. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football. Rodgers is playing the best. Like, he's the hottest. And the Packers are very good, right? Like, if you looked at the Packers as a football team and you said, what was their flaw? You'd point to the defense and you'd go, well, their run defense. Tell me who in the NFL has a dominant run game, like the San Francisco 49ers did last year that married with the dominant defense. It's the Rams, and we got to see if they get in. That's why the Packers are so hot going into the playoffs.
Okay, the Packers are looking good, and right now, you know, this was a big, big win for them. But I got to take you guys to the comeback of the night because this one was impressive. This is a team that a lot of you guys have been dogging all year, the Pittsburgh Steelers, taking on the Colts. Big Ben and the Steelers were struggling, but early on, Roethlisberger and that offense, they were not in sync. Check this out. Nope. Right there to Deontay Johnson. Later down 7-0, Benny Snell stuffed at the line, not working out. Later in the second, Steelers down 14-7, finds Johnson, but watch. Stop right there. And Dan, they just didn't have anything going early
on. Yeah, the short passing game wasn't there for them. Their offensive line did not play great. And then Indy's offense was outstanding, picking up pressure, finding Zach Pascal with the cut split. That safety takes over that crossing route. A beautiful throw by Phillip Rivers, had the time to do it.
Yeah, Rivers' 420th career passing TD, tying Dan Marino fifth all time. Third quarter, just over 3 minutes left. Steelers down 24-7, first and 10, and it's like a light switch came on, Rex. And you were talking about this. That catch right there to Deontay Johnson, that play was a turning point.
Oh, absolutely. And this game's full of, you know, ups and downs and all that, roller coaster. But the game switched on that play. Now he comes back, throws this touchdown pass to Eric Ebron. And things went well for Ben from that point on.
Yeah, over 9 minutes left. Then things start rolling. James Conner. Look, the running game. Pittsburgh has a running game. Gain of 12 right there. Longest run of the game for the Steelers. Later in the drive, first and 10. Colts 25. Roethlisberger, Juju Smith-Schuster. brilliant catch right there, making a great grab. And Dan, all of a sudden you saw this offense really waking up.
Yeah, well, Big Ben started to get a little bit more comfortable, and their offensive line protected well. And then their defense had some plays where, you know, they started to make some plays, get after Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers gets this PI with T.Y. Hilton here, and all of a sudden the Colts have a chance, right?
Yep, later in the drive, 4th and 7, Steelers 33, Rivers, Pascal, no. Game right there, and he almost had it, but not quite. The Steelers holding on for this one. Roethlisberger obviously happy. Steelers win it 28-24 and clinch the AFC North title. You know, they tripled their offensive production from the first to the second half, totaling 260 yards and 3 touchdowns. Big Ben accounting for 244 of those yards through the air, his most in a second half since November of 2018. Now, look, guys, I've been watching you guys all the time. You're dogging the Steelers. You're talking about this team. They're not going to go anywhere.
So being honest the about the Steelers.
A little bit.
Don't you do that.
I'll come to you then.
Don't do that. Do
you think this is a team that wins a game in the playoffs?
You know, first off, the second half saved me from jumping out of a first-story window because, like, I don't want to, like, be all the way gone. I just want to be, like, a little hurt because of the way the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing the last 3.5 games. But it does – I didn't think they could beat a playoff-caliber team. I really didn't. The way that they were playing football, this at least makes me feel that if that first game has to come through Pittsburgh, which it does now because they've won the division, that they can win a football game, that when Big Ben is control, when in control, when they push the ball down the field, give Chase Claypool some opportunities, Deontay Johnson, James Washington, that you can at least create pass interferences or make the big plays like we saw the Juju Smith-Schuster late in the game to take the lead. And then this defense also came alive. You look at Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward, also T.J. Watt coming off the edge, Minkah Fitzpatrick on the back end, and Mike Hilton with the huge interception. You saw some of those things that helped this team find ways to win games early on in the season. You saw some fight. And so where I don't believe this changes my outlook on the Pittsburgh Steelers and say that they can win the AFC Championship or even compete with Buffalo and Kansas City, I at least feel better about them competing and winning a game in the playoffs. And that's important for this team. When you start 11-0, you don't want to flatline and be sitting at home after the first week of the playoffs.
Okay, so that's good. So it looks like there's some improvement there. But Rex, I wonder, they've still got a lot of deficiencies. How are you looking at this team?
Yeah, you know, first off, that first half, I was like, they're done. Like, this team stinks. That's what it looked like to me. But that the way the game changed, the momentum changed after that touchdown pass, I'm like, oh, my gosh, Ben can still drive the ball. But I was like, to me, if you're going to win a game in the playoffs, you better run for more than 20 darn yards. And that's to me, like, they got to get back to being – The Pittsburgh that we knew, that when Ryan Clark was there, that team was able to run the football, be able to throw the ball down the field. I don't see it from this team. They don't do anything on a consistent basis on offense. I think their defense is you could win a ton of games in the playoffs with that defense. But, man, I mean, when you ran the ball for 20 yards and you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's an embarrassment. And this team's always been about toughness and being physical, and I miss it now. Now they're spread you out all over the place, throw these short passes, all that kind of stuff.
We cute now. Crazy. It's cute.
They're way too cute. That's why I'm like, man, I don't like them. They're going to get beat in the first round.
They're going to get beat in the first round.
They're going to get beat in the first round.
Dan, what do you think?
I think the Steelers' season was saved by their offensive line. I've been trying to tell people for 2 months right now, it's the offensive line that has – The play has declined so quickly, and they've gotten so old. And you look at the first half, and there was bodies all around Big Ben, and their offense had no rhythm, and there was no click to their offense. And then in the second half, they weren't – if you like these clips, they're not on the same page. They're not seeing the field the same way as receivers and Big Ben, and then there's a ton of pressure on Big Ben. And then in the second half, all of a sudden, it's like, no, we're going to play better. Big Ben threw the ball 29 times in the second half yesterday, okay? 29 times. He was touched 0. Now, if the offensive line is going to play like this in Pittsburgh, I can buy into them more. My expectation for them is higher than it has been over the last month. This is a team that can make noise in the playoffs if their offensive line plays as well as they did in the second half yesterday.
Don't you have to run block too, though?
Hey, but
I mean,
here's
to
my
me,
thing.
Don't you have to run block? Carter, you got 20 rushing yards?
But here's,
I mean,
my, here's
me,
my
gosh.
Here's
I
my
don't
thing,
know.
Rex. Here's my thing with that, okay? I understand that, and yes, you need that in the second half. But at the end of the day, this is the style that Pittsburgh mm-hmm. has chosen to play with this year. And it hasn't worked over the last 4 or 5 months because, or 4 or 5 weeks, because they can't keep the quarterback clean. If they keep Big Ben upright, the same that we say about Tom Brady.
Yeah,
if they
can
keep
that.
Him upright, the receivers are good enough.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to come back more to this game because there's a lot to talk about in that one. But first, I want to get to the upset of the day. And this was a big one. I mean, what, the Jets are world beaters all of a sudden? Baker Mayfield and the Browns looking an inch closer to a playoff spot. This was kind of a must win, and check out how it went. Now, we'll talk about a couple of things in this game, but look at Sam Darnold to Ty Johnson, then Jamison Crowder making that throw. Little trickeration there, working out perfectly for the Jets, up 7-3. First play of the second quarter, Baker Mayfield and the Browns on offense, their own 38. He drops back, fakes the handoff. And that happens. And, Dan, it was a rough day all around for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, the ball on the ground too much. Obviously, a turnover in your own, on your own side of the field is huge. And this type of game, when you got so many people out, Baker should know better than getting the ball out of his hands quicker.
Yeah, ensuing Jets drive, 3rd and 5, Browns 11. Darnold, Chris Herndon, touchdown. They missed the extra point, but they're up 13-3. Jets were running things in this game. Fourth quarter, same score, 1st and goal. Mayfield hands off to Kareem Hunt. Oh, there's a running game. It got going in this one. So that happened, and it looked like maybe the Browns are going to pull this one out. Under 4 minutes to go, same score. 3rd and 6, Browns own 15. Drifts right, Mayfield, and then again, tough day. Strip ball right there by Jonathan Franklin Myers, and you see the frustration on Kevin Stefanski's face. It's not going well. 1:31 left, 3rd and 10. Browns from the Jets 25. Mayfield hits Austin Hooper, tackled short of the first down. 4th down. This is the play. You can make it happen right here. Baker takes it himself and fumbles. A critical mistake right there, Dan.
I mean, this is, Ryan, like, fourth, you've got the 1st down. Just secure that football and you got a chance to win the game.
Here's Baker Mayfield after the game.
There's no excuse. Plain and simple, I failed this team. I put 3 balls on the ground. I have to hold on to the damn ball. I failed this team. We had exactly what we needed to win this game, and I didn't do good enough.
All right, so it's impressive to see him taking charge there as a leader. I do want to ask you, Rex, what is this? And look, we acknowledge the fact that 4 of his top receivers were out. They were on the COVID list. What does this say about Baker Mayfield, this loss at this time?
Well, I think as a player, man, I mean, it's like, you know, when it's tough on everybody else, it's just right for us. That's the approach they needed to take in that game. And unfortunately, they got beat. Mm-hmm. But no receivers, none of that stuff. Forget all of it. We found a way to win. And if Baker, man, protect the football. The thing that drives me crazy, Ryan, is he fumbles on that, you know, on the quarterback sneak. This isn't the first time. He's done it 2 weeks now. 2 out of the last 3 weeks, he's fumbled on a quarterback sneak. Like, yes, Baker has to protect the football. But I will say this. It speaks volumes of where he's come when he handled that press conference. He put it on himself. And when you do that, you take all the pressure off of your teammates for losing to the Jets. You took it all off of them and put it on yourself. And I appreciate that.
Ryan, go ahead.
Well, listen, the thing is, though, Rex, he ain't have all his teammates. And this is not an excuse for Baker Mayfield. I believe he is who he is. He's a guy that when the complimentary pieces are there, when the game is called great by Kevin Stefanski, that he could produce. And if he gets hot because he is so streaky, then you're in trouble. Then he really is dangerous. And yesterday I just loved the way that Baker Mayfield fought. When you have a guy like Nick Chubb, when you have a Kareem Hunt, 2 Pro Bowl caliber running backs, and you can't produce rushing yards against the New York Jets, you don't deserve to win. But they were in the game because they continued to fight, because they had a quarterback who led and continued to play. And absolutely, he put the ball on the ground 3 times. It's unacceptable, and it's a huge reason why they lost this game. But I feel no differently about Baker Mayfield in a negative way after this outing. I feel better about him. I feel better about him as a player. I feel better about him as a quarterback. But the reality is he should have put it on him. He should have taken the onus of this loss. But looking forward now, this team may not reach a goal that they put themselves in position to reach. And because of the COVID list or because of the fumbles, whatever it is, that will be disappointing.
Dan, there's going to be talk all over Cleveland and elsewhere. He's a franchise guy. He's supposed to take the guys he has on the team and elevate them. I get that the four receivers were out, but still, the offensive line was depleted. But still, this is what franchise players do. They elevate. They win these tough games. What do you say to that?
Yeah, if he gets to practice with them, I'd be with you, Rye. Like, here's my thing. So coaches, so everyone knows, coaches start game planning on a Monday, right, for their upcoming weekend game. And they're putting all their plays in. They're devising their base game plan, then their third down game plan, then their red zone game plan, how they want to attack the defense. And they're doing so with all their players because they have no reason to think otherwise. Imagine doing all that planning and then on Friday night going, nope, these guys aren't going to be there. The offensive line is going to be without two starters. So then you got to go attack your game plan and go, okay, cross off, cross off, cross off. And it becomes, well, what do these guys that we are going to have to play with, what can we do? What do they know? And so I know everyone wants to kill Baker and kill Kevin Stefanski. I got to throw them a bone in the impossible situation that they were placed into.
All right, I got to stop it there. We're going to come back more to this because there's a lot to talk about with that game. But still, got a lot more coming up in the show, too. It's been a disaster for Dallas, but what happens if they somehow win the NFC East? Does your head explode? Mine does. We'll talk about that. And speaking of turnarounds, is Mitchell Trubisky playing his way into a new contract with the Bears? You've got questions. We've got answers coming up on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, Auto, Renters, and Home Insurance. How about a little eye candy for you? Dan Orlovsky, I'm coming to you for this. You are clearly known for your dance moves. Check out Juju Smith-Schuster celebrating an AFC North title with his teammates in the locker room. What do you think?
Right, this is what I do when my wife goes to Target and spends less than $500. I do a celebration when she comes home and doesn't overspend on knickknacks for my home. This is actually pretty good, though.
This is good. And why do I do the same thing when my wife does the same thing at Target? It's just a thing, I guess. Well, coming up, it's been the NFL's most unpredictable division. Is it possible that the Cowboys will win the NFC East? And if they do, how will Jerry Jones respond? But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. Rex Ryan, get ready for this one. Which head coach won the most NFC East titles? Think about it.
I can think about it. You want me to give you the answer right
now? No. Wait till we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL. At 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up and back to a little sneaky Hembo time for Rex Ryan. All right, Rex, which head coach won the most NFC East titles?
Well, Ryan, you know, young guys like yourself and all that, you're going to be, like, confused. You're going to be like, is it Jimmy Johnson? Is it Joe Gibbs? Is it Bill Parcells? No, dude, you got to have gray hair.
Yeah.
It is Tom Landry.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom Landry.
Let's see. Is that the correct answer? Indeed it is. Tom Landry. That was not that hard.
But see, you know, like the young guys sometimes, I can't get past, you know, 20 years or whatever. So, come on, man. For all you old dudes out there, this one's for us.
Look at that. Next time we're going to give you a hard one, man. That was – Hemo gets a lot of respect, but still.
Believe me.
By the way, keeping it in the NFC East, what a day it was in that division. Let's talk about the Giants. They lost to the Ravens 27-13. They fall to 5-10 on the season. Daniel Jones sacked six times as he continues to play with that bad hamstring. They host the Cowboys in Week 17. Washington lost to the Panthers 20-13. To fall to 6-9 on the season. Dwayne Haskins started, but was benched in favor of Tyler Heinicke. Washington visits Philly in Week 17. And speaking of Philly, let's talk about Philly and Dallas, shall we? I mean, this one was a surprise for some. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, midway through the first, Eagles up 7-3. Hurts drops back and hooks up with DeSean Jackson. Watch this play. He still has that top-end speed. Taking it easy, do the little flip in the end zone because you know you got it. Boom. Eagles go up 14-3. It looked like they were going to dominate this one. Not so, because Andy Dalton came to play. Looking to respond. Second and third from the Eagles 21. Dalton drops back, finding Michael Gallup, who gallops into the end zone for a 21-yard touchdown. Cowboys down 14-10. Cowboys with another chance to add points. Before the half, 17-13. Dalton back in the gun, finds Gallup on the sidelines, 19 yards. Great play right there, Dan.
It's a beautiful job of Dalton getting out of the pocket, but then Michael Gallup realizing where he is on the sidelines and getting his feet in bounds.
And then right there, I tell you what, Dallas came back in this one, up 20-17 before the half. Cowboys still rolling on offense, taking it to the third. Third and three on their own 48. Dalton finding C.D. Lamb. These receivers are talented, no doubt about it. Open goes down to the sideline, 52-yard touchdown. And Lamb, man, they got a great receiving core right there. And we take you to the fourth. Eagles trying to make a comeback. Third and five from the Cowboys, 48. Hurts finding Ertz. Down the middle for 17 yards. Eagles looking to score later in the drive. Third and 12, they're down 30-17. Not looking good. Hurts rolls to his left, looking to the end zone. And it was this kind of day for him, frankly. Picked off right there, Anthony Brown. Hurts, 342 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. But the Eagles lose this one by 20 to the Cowboys. So now there are three teams still alive for the NFC East title, with Washington winning it if they beat the Eagles on Sunday. The winner of the Cowboys-Giants game could also punch their ticket to the postseason if Washington were to lose. So I ask our guests as we bring them in, because we're all just shaking our head here. Rex, who is going to win this NFC East? Does anybody want to win the NFC East?
They all want to win it, but why?
Yeah.
Whoever wins is going to get knocked out. You know what I mean? And I hate to say this, but I mean – God, I mean, maybe I can't say it because my dad would roll over in his grave if I said Dallas. So even though I think it's Dallas, I'm not going to say it, okay? You know what I'm saying? So give me the Giants. I don't know.
RC, what do you think?
Man, I don't dang know. I told y'all that on production meeting. I don't know why y'all get me up at 4:45 in the morning to listen to me give y'all these answers and then ask me the same dang question on TV. I don't know. Like I told y'all weeks and weeks ago, these teams are so bad that you just never know. And Dan had said on this show probably two or three Mondays ago, it's almost like who has the healthiest quarterback? And I think that's kind of the realm that we're getting into. If you can get a healthy Alex Smith, it looks like the Washington football team has some of the pieces to win the game against Philly and put themselves in, because they're kind of in the driver's seat. If you watch these teams this week, it's hard to say that the Dallas Cowboys aren't the best team in the NFC East currently with the way that they're playing. And so I'm gonna be honest, I don't have an answer Like, I just don't have an answer. Everybody's so bad. It's whoever stinks the less in the last week of the season or stinks the least. And then going into the playoffs, whatever team it is, they're going to get blown out in the first week anyway. So I'm not really sure why it matters. But the thing about this is you look at some of these games and you say it's about competency and consistency. And none of these teams have really shown that this year. So whoever can have the best week next week may be the team to represent the NFC East out of these three.
Yeah, and Dan, I look at this and I wonder if there's a little bit of a Cowboys revival here and what happens if they do win the division.
Yeah, there's no revival. Like, listen, they matter next week, but they're not good. Like, they're not a good football team. Here's the thing. The Cowboys are going to fool themselves if they win and the Philadelphia Eagles lose, or the Washington football team loses. This is the fascinating thing. Cowboys fans, you guys got to be Eagles fans next weekend. Have fun with that. they're going to fool themselves into thinking, like, look, we're still close. All we need to do is get our quarterback back, and we'll run it back next year, and we'll be okay. No, no, you won't. Like, yeah, you got a great receiving corps. Your secondary is still very poor. Your linebacking corps is still very poor. Your defensive line is still very average. Your offensive line is still kind of falling apart because of their age and health. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Zeke Elliott. And so you got to get Dak re-signed. And they're going to, like, here's where I sit on the NFC East, Ryan. I'm going to fly off the cuff a little bit here, right? Like,
okay,
Washington, the only reason Washington has to win next week is because they had a child playing quarterback over the last 2 weeks. I'm going to pull for the Washington football team because I believe in Alex Smith.
Child.
And I want that storyline. The Eagles, that was a good loss yesterday. You needed to lose. Last year, you fooled yourself into thinking you were better than you really are because your roster's not that great. And so on the Dallas Cowboys, you're in the same situation the Eagles were in last year. You're going on a late season kind of run. The division isn't very good. And all of a sudden you're like, look, I told you, we got our coach. Our football team's going to get better. We'll get our quarterback and we'll think we're all of a sudden good. And then the Giants, Daniel Jones, his health has been up and down. He didn't play great yesterday. So this division is bad, but I will believe and trust in Alex Smith.
You know what Dan
just
said?
Go ahead, RC, and the Rex, I want
to
come to you.
Dan just said the exact same thing that I'd have said. He don't dang know either. He gave y'all all of that, and it was great analysis. It was amazing TV, but Dan don't know either. You know why?
No,
because
clue.
They all stink, y'all. They all do. We thought we had something with the Washington football team. Alex Smith gets hurt, and you realize how important he is to that team. And if he doesn't play next week, they can't win. And then you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to trick themselves into thinking, you know what, with this great receiving core, we get the quarterback back. I told you the defense was what they were on paper. We're going to be better. That's a lie. The Eagles now know that they stink no matter who's playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the New York Giants, if they don't have Daniel Jones that can run, they can't win.
Mm-hmm.
So we say all that to still all say we don't know who's going to win this stinky division, but one team's going to win it, and they're going to be home with us the first week.
RC, I figured it out.
You know.
I know.
Tell me. Ray.
Mark it down 100%. I know. There's no way in hell Philadelphia is going to let the Dallas Cowboys win this division. There's no way in hell. They're fans. There's no way. There's no chance in this. So Washington's going to win this thing because they're going to give it up. There's no way they're going to beat Washington. It'd be a fan. Hey, dude, are you kidding me? It doesn't matter. Our season's terrible. No chance we win this game. Even if Haskins is at quarterback. I don't care. Washington wins it. Mark it down, fans.
Don't play for pride. Play for spite.
No, yes. Absolutely. You let Dallas play in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Jerry Jones? No, that's not happening.
All right. Well, let's move on to a team that is looking like a good playoff team. Well, they play the Jaguars, though. The Bears. Mitchell Trubisky taking on the Jaguars. 3:30 left in the first quarter. Bears trailing 3-0. Second and goal. Mitchell Trubisky. Jimmy Graham over the middle for a touchdown. Bears lead at 7-3. First drive of the second half. He was on the day. Second and two from the Jag 6. Trubisky play action rolling. And what does he do? Uses his wheels to take it in himself. Bears up 20-10. After Roquan Smith's second interception of the game, Bears looking to extend the lead. Second and seven of the 22. And yes, Jimmy Graham. And you know what? Give the peace sign after that because they trounced the Jaguars and Trubisky had a game. So I got to ask you guys, this guy was written off earlier in the season. He was written off last year, and now he's doing what he's doing. Brex, what should the Bears do with Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, Ryan, I think they're going to have to franchise him. Mm-hmm. I really do. And But I think the point we need to talk about is how Nagy, the brilliant move by Nagy is what? He took the play calling away from himself. I know Dan's going to talk about that later. All right, let's take away evaluating quarterbacks from Nagy as well. All right, I think they need to do that because he wanted Nick Foles as a starting quarterback. So that's a mistake. So the less Nagy does, the better the team plays. So how about that? Look, I always say this. This dude was taken second overall. All right, ahead of Patrick Mahomes, ahead of Deshaun Watson. And every team in the league says, oh, hell no, I had Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson over him. No, you didn't. You had Mitchell Trubisky. Just thank God you didn't have the second pick, or you'd look like fools too. But I'm just telling you, this kid is an athlete. He's talented. And in all seriousness, Dan has got a great take on why the kid's playing better. But to me, he's had ability. He was fourth in quarterback rating 3 years ago. So I think they have to franchise him.
Dan, franchising Mitchell Trubisky.
I think they have to.
Dan, so why is he playing better?
They've kind of played to his strengths. You know, like, first of all, he's proven worthy of the position, right? He's proven worthy of being the starting quarterback for the Bears. If you go to 2018 when Matt Nagy went there, it was a ton of play action. It was a ton of getting Mitchell Trubisky out of the pocket. Last year, it wasn't that case. Beginning of the year, it wasn't that case. Yesterday, or since the benching, it's been Mitchell Trubisky out on the perimeter, utilizing play action, which is in the pocket, and bootlegs, which is out of the pocket, getting the athlete out in space. We talk about that in football all the time, and we only think about it when it comes to, like, tailbacks and wide receivers. Well, it has to be for a quarterback who's athletic as well. Get those guys out in space. And the benching did more for the coaching than it did just for the player. This is what I know. This is what I know about Mitchell Trubisky. He's 25-12 with Matt Nagy as a starting quarterback. I think a lot of teams would take that. He's 6-2 this year as the starting quarterback. And so when Matt Nagy realized, I can't do both head coach and play caller, I need to just be the head coach. I'll give the play calling duties to Bill Lazor. He became a better head coach. The offense became more in sync, and the quarterback is now playing to his strengths. They've saved their roles for this season, and they've made it a very, very, very worthy question moving forward.
It's like so many have said all season long. They wanted to bring in a quarterback that fit Nagy's system. It was when they started saying, we'll use Trubisky as he is, what he's good at, how we can make him great. We use him that way, and they start succeeding. So, RC, I got to ask you, are the Bears a threat if they get into the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, you think about it. You played the Lions. You lose because your defense doesn't hold up. You beat the Jaguars. You beat the Texans. And so some of these teams who don't necessarily have great defenses, but you've watched them play through Trubisky. I think one thing that we have learned is that Allen Robinson is a star. Coming into this year, I was a little critical on the Bears because I said that they didn't have a number one. So I've watched it closely. And no matter who plays quarterback for the Chicago Bears, he is the one constant. You watch Mitchell Trubisky play now, it's about his legs and finding Allen Robinson in crucial and critical third down and red zone moments. And he's come up big for this team. And so now you go into the playoffs and you think, if this defense gets hot, like we've seen Roquan Smith do lately, like we've seen Khalil Mack on the back end, if they make some plays with some of those Pro Bowl caliber players and Mitchell Trubisky continues to get in space, I don't really think this is the team you can take lightly in the first round. And so, yes, they can win the game. You are hoping that someone else gets in other than this team.
Okay, and we'll see how that plays out if, in fact, they do get in. But we got a lot more to talk about here on Get Up, including this. It's fascinating. Are the Dolphins better off keeping Tua on the bench after Fitzmagic's heroic Saturday night in Las Vegas? We will talk about it when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Bowl Mania rolls on tomorrow with two more really good matchups. Number 21, Oklahoma State, squares off against quarterback De'Aaron King, and number 18, Miami, in the Cheez-It Bowl at 5:30 Eastern. Then quarterback Sam Erlinger and the number 20-ranked Texas takes on 4-1 Colorado in the Valero Alamo Bowl. Both games are on ESPN and the app. So let's get right into it and run the hurry up. I want to start with this one. Dan, what did you see from Tom Brady and the Bucs on Saturday?
Well, they got to play the Lions. I mean, you know, that's the start with, Ryan. This is what we've been saying all season long. Tom Brady is great still. If you protect him and you give him the opportunity to be pinpoint with his accuracy, he can do exactly just that. That will be the storyline for the Bucs going into the playoffs. If Brady's clean, they're going to be tough to be beaten.
All right, Rex, the Cardinals managed only 12 points in their loss to the 49ers. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, the Cardinals are who I thought they were. All right, they still got a long way to go, a 500 team. Cliff Kingsbury is a 500 coach in college with the greatest player in the world. So he's still not there. But it was this Kyler Murray, man, the finer points of playing the position, he's still got to get better at, and ball placement in particular. So the kid's got a long way to go. He's still a special talent, though.
All right. RC, how would you describe what happened Saturday night in Vegas?
Man, I mean, listen, when you watch this team play, you just don't understand it, but that's what Fitzmagic is. That's what he does. He's a guy who comes in, he has no restraints, he has no boundaries, and he goes out and he just tries to make plays for his team. This team rallies around him, and you saw again the Las Vegas Raiders don't do the right thing at the end of the game, and they're burned by a star quarterback. The last times it was Mahomes, this time it was Fitzmagic. I mean, those dudes aren't the same, but they got the same result.
All right, you know what? He makes magic happen. You just wish it could happen consistently, and it doesn't really.
You just hope the magic's for your team.
Exactly. But I want to stick with this game for a little bit because it really was interesting. You look at this, and now the question becomes, who's going to start, Tua or Fitz? Rex, who do you think?
No, it's Tua. Absolutely, he's going to be Tua. And I got to give a shout-out to Brian Flores to me. Man, like, this is a weird situation. Here he's pulling guys, different situations. Fits in, you play great. No, you're back to the bench, all that. But he instills confidence, which is crazy when you're pulling a guy. It doesn't happen. I'm going to tell you how he does it. Mm-hmm. All right, number one, he's got extreme confidence in himself. And he's the real deal. That's what plays in the locker room. Everybody knows that this guy is genuine. But, man, he's like, look, Tua, you're going to start this game. You're going to protect our football team. You're going to get better as it goes. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're my ace reliever, man. You're coming in, throwing gas, and getting us our saves. He's got him in such a role. That's who he is. But for those who think Fitzpatrick is a great starting quarterback, you're wrong. He's had 16 years to prove it. He's not that. What he is a heck of a relief pitcher. He's got that mentality and what Dan talks about. This, you know, and it's like he's special that way. His teammates gravitate to him. So when they put him in, his whole team has confidence. But, man, I'm telling you, the team, Brian Flores to me is coach of the year. Mm. And his handling of this, although it's strange, works.
You know, it just seems like he's a man of integrity and the guys really follow him. So, Dan, I got to ask you, who do you think should start?
Tua should start. I look at this situation with three things, right? I trust Brian Flores as much as I trust any coach in the NFL with his decision-making and strategy. He has 100% earned that. Two, what does this do to Tua's confidence? As a player in the NFL, a lack of confidence comes from a lack of clarity, the unknown. Mm-hmm. There is nothing of that in Miami. There is a very black and white conversation that seems to happen from Flores to Tua. If you don't play well enough, we're going to go to this guy. You're still our starting quarterback, right? And so this will not have a negative impact on Tua's confidence or his belief in himself, right? He is still a developing player. But this is the most important point. The courage to make the decision in these moments, the quarterback moves for Brian Flores, that's
huge.
Impressive. What's most impressive is the courage and confidence to make the quarterback move and know that if it doesn't work out, he won't lose the locker room. That's the most impressive thing, is he knows I've got an all-in trust from my locker room that I can make this move. And if it doesn't work out, if we lose and it has a negative impact on our team, those guys will still believe in me, and I'm going to still believe in them. That's what it means, or that's what it looks like to have all-in trust as an organization. That's why Flores is who he is for the Dolphins.
Dan, I find that fascinating. RC, I just want to come at you quickly with this. The idea that we have behind franchise quarterbacks is this idea of, hey, you got to build up their confidence. You got to keep them in. You got to let them learn from their mistakes. When he's getting relieved, does he learn from those mistakes?
I think he does learn from those mistakes, but it's not necessarily his own mistakes to make. And when you look at what Brian Flores has done, he's empowered both of his quarterbacks. Both of those quarterbacks own the locker room, and that's a very difficult thing to do. You have to have two extremely unique people to do it with, and I think they have the perfect mix in Tua Tagovailoa and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, if they can make this work and soothe those egos, and I'm not saying those guys have egos, but if they can make it work and make these guys work together, that really is a coach of the year type of job right there. Well, let's run the floor, talk about the games in the NBA. The Lakers blew out Minnesota last night, 127-91. LeBron finished with 18 points. Kyle Kuzma added 20. The Lakers played without AD, who has a calf contusion. The Timberwolves were without Karl Anthony Towns. He dislocated his left wrist. Then, meanwhile, Kevin Durant and the Nets suffered their first loss of the season, falling to the Hornets, 106-104. Durant missed a shot at the buzzer that would have tied the game. Durant had 29 in the loss. Gordon Hayward finished with 28 points for Charlotte. And then there was this. The Mavericks held an NBA record 50-point lead over the Clippers in their 124-73 win. That 50-point deficit is the largest at the break in the shot clock era, which began in 54-55. Luka had 24 points in the win, a disaster for the Clippers. Coming up, what a disaster for this guy, Aaron Rodgers' statement in the snow at 37 years old. And in year 16, is he the best quarterback in the NFL right now? You got questions, we got answers.
4 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.